Welcome to the Dry Bones Ministries podcast, where we strive to provide great preaching and teaching so that listeners will discover or rediscover the goodness, truth, and beauty of our Catholic faith. If you are interested in supporting the work we are doing, visit us at drybonespgh.org or follow us on social media at drybonespgh. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you're inspired, uplifted, and encouraged. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dry Bones Ministry special podcast series on 33 Days to Merciful Love. My name is Father Adam Potter. I'm grateful to be with you for these final days of synthesis and review. Let's pray and enter into our review of the third week, all about the offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who have taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Day 31, the offering. Three words summarize what we learned about the offering to merciful love: console, the catch, and purgatory. First, console. The essence of the offering to merciful love is to console the heart of Jesus by accepting all the merciful love that other souls don't want. It's to see that Jesus' heart aches because he wants to pour out his merciful love to sinners, but so many just don't want to receive it. It's to let him pour out that rejected love into our own sinful but contrite hearts. In sum, through the offering, we console Jesus by letting him love us. And this consoling love can make us into saints, even great saints. After all, what is holiness but the merciful love of God poured into our hearts? See Romans 5:5. And while Thérèse begins her offering to merciful love by expressing her desire to become a saint, she wants to become one specifically to console the heart of Jesus, who longs to make us holy through his merciful love. Yes, Jesus wants us to receive the grace that makes us holy, and when we do, it consoles him. As he told St. Faustina, quote, I desire to bestow my graces upon souls, but they do not want to accept them. You, at least, come to me as often as possible and take these graces they do not want to accept. In this way, you will console my heart. End quote. Second, the catch. All right, but if we offer ourselves to merciful love, what's the catch? I mean, if we receive all the rejected mercy that other souls don't want, what's that going to cost us? What's going to happen to us? Of course, there's a big catch when it comes to the offering to divine justice. Lots of suffering. So what's the catch when we offer ourselves to merciful love? Well, there is indeed a catch, but it's not a scary one. The catch is that we accept to allow God's merciful love to gradually heal our hardened hearts, so they'll become more sensitive, compassionate, and loving. The catch is that our hearts will begin to become more as they could be, deeply moved by the suffering of others. And that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to be moved by the suffering of the heart of Jesus. It's a beautiful thing to be moved by the suffering of our neighbor. It's a beautiful thing to weep with those who weep, Romans 12:15, and to comfort those who are in any affliction, with the same consolation we have received in Christ. See 2 Corinthians 1:4. Now, while it's beautiful to have a compassionate heart, it does hurt. After all, the very definition of compassion is to suffer with. But this kind of suffering is not so scary. Why not? Because such suffering, by its very nature, is other-directed. And when our focus is not on ourselves, when we're suffering, while it certainly still hurts, we often don't even notice our own pain. We're too focused on the beloved who suffers. In sum, then, here's the catch. It's to accept to have a heart that's more loving, compassionate, and merciful. And while having such a heart does cause us more pain, it's a bittersweet pain, the pain of compassion. Also, keep in mind that the alternative is terrible. A cold, hard, and distant heart that resists suffering with others, that resists being part of the Christian life of love. Third, purgatory. Here's one other catch that comes with making the offering to merciful love. It gradually increases our longing for God. Now, according to St. Faustina, such longing is the great suffering of purgatory. But here, in this life, such longing is not as bad. In fact, it's a beautiful longing of love, a longing that purifies us at every moment and deepens our life of prayer. It's a longing that prepares us for the martyrdom of love. The martyrdom of love is the sweet martyrdom through which little souls can hope that God will come for us at the very end of our lives and manifest his love for us in such a way that it will cause us to die of love. In other words, seeing the overwhelming beauty of God's love, our souls will be so attracted to him that they won't be able to resist jumping into the embrace of his merciful love. Moreover, such a martyrdom is very sweet and purifies the soul completely, leaving no trace of sin or punishment, which means it will not have to pass through the fire of purgatory. According to St. Therese, such a remarkable gift of sanctity is relatively easy to obtain, even for very imperfect souls. Simply recall the case of Sister Marie of the Trinity, one of St. Therese's novices who feared purgatory and wondered if someone as weak as she could hope to avoid it. After she asked if it were possible even for someone like her to hope to go straight to heaven after death, Therese replied, "Yes, God is so good. He will know how he can come and get you. But despite this, try to be faithful so that he does not have to wait in vain for your love." Today's prayer. Spend the day pondering the offering to merciful love as it is summarized in these three words: console, the catch, and purgatory. Well, this is a very important day of review to be able to go back over the offering that in this week he really broke down in terms of the different parts of the prayer and everything. But for us, just to kind of capture the heart of it would be really good as we prepare for our consecration day. I think the first word, console, is at the heart of the offering to merciful love. And I think it's to really take to heart that the very heart of Jesus, his love, is accessible to each and every one of us. And that our lives consisting of holiness is all dependent upon our being present to that love and being present to it, loving him and receiving that love. And in this, it brings every moment to life, that every moment has an opportunity to be united to that love and to receive it and to allow our own souls just to be oases where the Lord can pour his love into our hearts more and more and more, and to just live in that as a constant response to his invitation to be present to him and to love him in every moment. And so that's what this offering is. It's to intentionally give ourselves to console him and to be present to him. And it's in a particular way of recognizing his infinite offering, perfect gift of his love that's offered to you and me, is simultaneously offered to everyone. And while it's very easy to be discouraged by our own lack of a response, it's even more so discouraging to see those who just are completely ignorant or willfully rejecting that invitation to live and abide in God's love. And so this act of consoling is saying, instead of me trying to take it into my own hands and to fix it and to change the hearts of everyone, if only I could preach better, live better, then they could convert their lives, I'm going to allow the Lord to be the main agent of the of saving the world. You know, that's his job, not ours. And so I'm going to be present to him, loving him, and recognizing, instead of me trying to be the protagonist, I'm going to allow that to be the Lord. And I'm just going to respond to him. And when I see brokenness, sinfulness, evil in the world, I'm going to seek to, instead of fixing it myself, going by worldly means, I'm going to go to this supernatural response of consoling his heart and allowing then my heart to be a vehicle, this vessel for Jesus' love and mercy to come through me and into the world. And that I really believe is, one of the effects of this is that, in fact, we can do so much more whenever we surrender, console the Lord, and then through that surrender, we then turn out to be an even greater supporting actor, right? Supporting cast in the Lord's work of saving and redeeming the whole world. So that's the idea of the offering. It is to console his heart and to receive those graces that are rejected by other souls. The catch is something that, a lot of us recognize with any offering. Think about any sales pitch that you've heard in your life. It's like, it sounds too good to be true that I could receive these graces that are rejected by others, that I could be brought into this unique role of helping Jesus save and redeem the world just by consoling him, right? Like, what's the catch? What's it going to cost? And the cost, as he describes beautifully, and this is our own transformation. And that can be scary because the transformation is one that is then more sensitive to God's love and to others. It's more sensitive to suffering with others and entering into this role of consoling. Isn't that something that he spoke really well about in the actual chapter on compassion, this compassionating? It is a virtue to learn how to compassionate others. It's to suffer with them. And that can be scary because once I see that someone's hurting, to enter in means that I know that there's a whole lot more that perhaps I'm not able to see, or perhaps they haven't just shared with me. But to have a heart that's then open to suffering with, that's open to like this fearless, I'm going to be present to you and I'm going to walk with you, I'm going to love you no matter what. It does expand our own capacity for this beautiful role of compassion. And so, that's scary because it's not safe, right? It's much safer to stay at a distance, like, oh, sorry, you're suffering. I'll pray for you or get better or whatever. And it's another thing to say, like, tell me about it. How are you doing? What hurts? And to enter in. And so, that transformation, though, is at the heart of holiness. Holiness. That third word, purgatory, is ultimately what happens as a result of the catch, that our hearts are transformed, that we're able to more perfectly be sensitive to the suffering of God, suffering of Jesus' sacred heart, the suffering of others, the suffering of the world, to be able to console him more perfectly. And in that, then our hearts become more attuned to abiding with the Lord, abiding with him. And this is heaven, to abide with him and him in us. I've heard it said that if God is love, in heaven is the perfection of that relationship of love, then to consider whether or not we will want to be in heaven and how well we'll be welcomed into heaven is to look at how well we love. How well do I do it loving? And how well do I do it being loved? I don't know about you. Sometimes it's the latter that's more difficult, to be able to help others, serve others, love others, compliment and affirm and uplift and encourage. I don't know. Sometimes that's a little bit more natural or safe for others, for people. And I think myself included, to be able to be the giver of love, it's kind of safe because I feel like I'm coming from this place of perhaps, and this isn't always the case, But perhaps it comes from the case of me feeling better about myself, because I'm the one who can better someone else, that I can feel needed. Like I can feel like I'm really making a difference, which is a good thing for us to be attentive to, because that can be an imperfect motivation of love. The Lord uses it, but if I'm loving just because it makes me feel better about myself, because I like to feel needed or appreciated, then yeah, that needs to be purified and perfected. Sometimes it's a lot harder to receive love, to receive another's charity, kind word, affirmation, word of encouragement, maybe even correction. That can often be a good sign of someone loves us enough to tell us the hard truth. How well do we do at receiving that? And that is a good indicator of the disposition of my heart to love. And so, in as much as in our time here on earth, that we're able to love rightly, truly, purely, in the beautiful way of what it means to love for the good of the other, and to be able to receive that love freely, it is great preparation for what heaven is, to be able to be purified in this world, so that once we stand before the God of the universe, who is love, who invites us to heaven, that is not so much a place, but a relationship of this perfection of love, then we will be able to, as Therese talks about, jumping into the embrace of our Heavenly Father. And so that's a sweet promise, and that's a sweet goal. And I propose we should settle for nothing less than allowing our hearts to be perfected and transformed into merciful love itself, so that we can be with the Lord forever in heaven. So let's continue to spend this day pondering these three words: console, the catch, and purgatory. All right, well, that's day 31. We're moving on just to our final 2 days, 32 and 33. And then on our 34th day, we will have our consecration day. If you'd like, I'll give you permission, if you need it, to look ahead to the section on the consecration day. I've kind of been encouraging you on a little bit of these insights in preparation, looking ahead. But yeah, just invite you to read through that section that starts on page 131 and goes through 137. And just be able to read through that, prepare not only spiritually, as we've been doing these last 31 days, but also practically, and what that's going to look like to execute the consecration and allow the externals to really support the internals. God bless you all, praying for you, and so looking forward to continuing with you tomorrow as we get closer to our consecration day. God bless you. Peace. Thank you for joining us for this episode. To learn more about Dry Bones Ministries events and initiatives, and to support this podcast, go to drybonespgh.org. Thanks, and God bless you.